910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Donald Trump is at Mar-a-Lago right now, talking to a room full of supporters. Reporters are also there. His campaign trying to distance itself from racist and sexist comments made during his Madison Square Garden rally on Sunday. Donald Trump tells ABC's Rachel Scott he did not hear the opening speakers. Vice President Kamala Harris will deliver an address tonight on the Ellipse in Washington. ABC's Alex Preshay is there.
The National Park Service tells us they're expecting more people than originally reported. Originally, some 20,000 people. Now we're being told that 40,000 people will be at this rally tonight.
Job openings tumbled last month to their lowest level since January of 2021. Posted vacancies still above what they were before the pandemic. Dozens of people were killed when Israeli airstrikes hit a five-story building in northern Gaza overnight. The death toll from more than a year of fighting, now more than 43,000, according to the Hamas-run Gaza Health Ministry. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com. For 910 WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. A new federal rule that went into effect on Monday will protect passengers if their flights are canceled or significantly delayed. Previously, some airlines would give vouchers out to their passengers in the event of a canceled or heavily delayed flight, providing some manner of relief for the passengers but limiting their options for booking new travel. Now airlines will be required to provide a cash refund for passengers whose travel plans are heavily affected. The rule change comes just in time for the holiday season, the busiest travel time of the year. Wisconsin industries have seen a growing push for unionization in recent years. According to the National Labor Relations Board, the state saw a total of 47 union petitions for the 2024 fiscal year. The number of petitions is significantly higher than last year, which saw only 25 union petitions, and has more than doubled since the 2021 fiscal year. The increased interest in unionization follows a trend throughout the Midwest, which has seen an increase in union petitions of nearly 140% since the 2021 fiscal year. The city of Duluth has officially reopened Brighton Beach after years of construction and renovations. On Monday, city officials unveiled new amenities like the extended lake walk, picnic tables, and new bathrooms. They say during the planning process, they reached out to community members to find out what they wanted added to or changed at the beach during the renovation project. A number of local organizations like Friends of the Lake Walk also contributed to the reconstruction. The project took a total of about 4 years to complete. The Rotary Club of Duluth held its biggest fundraiser of the year over the weekend, spreading roses throughout the area before winter sets in. Officials say it's the 39th year that the organization has held their annual rose sale, and the proceeds are sent to community-based organizations. The roses were sold at various shopping centers around the city. Officials also say the organization is always looking for new projects to benefit the community and is always looking to bring in more community members to volunteer with the club. For 910 WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
The Badgers get ready for the Hawkeyes. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin Badgers with another primetime game. They head to Iowa to play the Hawkeyes Saturday night at 6:30. Luke Fickle on what they learned in their loss to Penn State over the weekend.
They made more plays than we did, and in those situations, especially as it came down late in the game, those ones are the critical ones. And they're not like plays out of the ordinary. It's plays that come along with execution and plays that come along with being poised enough throughout that entire game to be able to anticipate some of those things. And as you look back at it, that's where, to me, I'd say they did a better job.
NFL, an MRI shows no serious damage for Jordan Love. The Packers quarterback played against the Jaguars with a groin injury. Matt LaFleur.
I just thought it was a pretty gutty performance. He was definitely hurting. His ability to move, to really drive the football, you know, I thought it was just a tough, gritty performance.
NBA, the Bucks lose to the Celtics 119-108. They've now lost three in a row. They're in Memphis Thursday night for Halloween. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Summer is here today, with unseasonable highs reaching those mid-70s alongside a gusty southeast wind. This is all ahead of wet weather sitting on our back doorstep. In fact, showers and some storms move in overnight and throughout tomorrow. We could see some soaking rain amounts of over an inch. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 58.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
The Todd Alba Show.
Matt Flynn joining us. This is a text off the text line. Quote, I'm dreading that it's a little too late. The last few weeks of polls are extremely bleak.
This is not the time to get wobbly. The polls right now still show her in the lead between 2 to 3 points. She used to be ahead by 5 points. So what?
Charles Franklin at Marquette Law School says polls don't vote. People do. Have a plan. Be a voter, Matt.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pat Kreitlow.
Wednesday in our homeroom segment, a closing message to voters about the importance of saying yes to public schools and no to the politicians who threaten them.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Galvin Butenhoff coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call, you can text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that used to be Twitter. Election Day is 1 week from today, and we're going to have all the coverage you're looking for, from the presidential race to all of the down ballot races. Civic Media's Election Night Special will have insight and analysis you will only get from us. Join us. I will be there. You will be there. Pat Kreitlow will be there. Todd Alba will be there. We're all going to be reporting out of Madison. Join us on election night starting at 6 p.m. and all throughout the night. It's probably going to be a late night for several people.
Yeah.
But join us next Tuesday starting at 6 p.m. Pete Schwabe and me will be kicking things off for our coverage on election night. Very excited to have our guest back. Mary Hayes is the chair of the Chequamegon Democrats, covering Bayfield and Ashland counties. Good morning, Mary. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Jane. Thank you. It was fun listening in with Pat earlier and getting in some chair dancing. You know.
Absolutely.
I got to come back more often so I could do that.
We love chair dancing. We are very, very pro chair dancing here on Matt Nair on Air. Pat's got a great show, again, 6 to 8 across the Civic Media Radio Network, Up North News, if you want to check him out. And I know you were listening in, Mary, about some Republicans are seeming that they will vote quietly. They are going to vote for Kamala Harris, but they're just not going to say it out loud, and they may not necessarily share that information with close family and friends. Are you feeling that in your area at all when you knock on doors?
Yeah, I think so. You know, it's hard to gauge how big it is, but the fact that we actually have Republicans invite us into their home when we're door knocking to have a conversation, I think is really telling. And I personally have had that happen several times this summer. And so I think it shows that, you know, people are more in the middle in their voting most of the time.
Right.
That's where stuff gets done.
No, right.
You know, the extremes of either party never get stuff done. They influence, but eventually the real work gets done in the middle and everybody gives up a little bit. And then you take a step forward and then you take a step forward again the next time. And that's what people want. You know, and as we talk to them about what our candidates have done, and, you know, you talk about Tammy Baldwin, for example, one of the most bipartisan senators in the U.S. Senate, constantly reaching across the aisle to find that middle ground. Of course, Republican senators willing to do that are becoming smaller and smaller, it seems. But nonetheless, she finds them, you know, and that's what we represent, is finding that way to the middle to get people what they need. And I think people are tired. They're real tired of the gridlock in Madison. They're tired of the gridlock in D.C. And I think, you know, this fascist rally in Madison Square Garden on Saturday. If anybody even read some of what went on there, their hair should be on fire. They should be shocked. And I think that, you know, could be the mic drop, you know, for some of these Republicans. But there is a movement of women running around in public bathrooms at grocery stores and Quick Trips and whatnot, and putting post-it notes up that saying, remember, nobody knows how you vote once you get in that booth. Trying to encourage women who obviously are sick and tired of male politicians telling them what to do with their bodies and a lot of other things.
Especially when they don't understand how the female body works. That's the one thing that makes me so crazy.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I think Michelle Obama had a great speech the other night.
She did.
She talked about that. You know, that there's a lot of complexity there. Doctors will tell you that is the most life-threatening condition that women have.
Pregnancy is.
Pregnancy, yes. Pregnancy is the most life-threatening condition that women have. It's a dangerous time. It doesn't always go perfectly. And
there's one gentleman whose name escapes me right now, but he actually said that it was his understanding that women can only miscarry during their first pregnancy. Which is just loony.
Well, and you know what else is loony is these Republicans who try to tout that, well, you know, I'm okay if there's abortions with rape and incest, are basically saying that someone has to violate a woman's body or a young child's body before it's okay to have an abortion. That's just bizarre when you think about it.
Well, and I think too, Mary, if the situation were ever reversed and the government came to men and said, sorry, we want to prevent, you know, unplanned pregnancies, so every boy when he turns 14 is going to get a vasectomy, and then when he is financially and emotionally stable enough, he can have it reversed. The outcry would never stop.
When he's 55, I don't really...
You mean to get to the point where it can be reversed?
For clarification, I just wanted you to... That person was state representative Jeff Burkhart of Clarksville, Tennessee, who said this.
About the miscarriage?
Yes.
Only in the first pregnancy.
I always like to give credit where credit's due.
Yeah, that's important.
Oh, yes, definitely.
That's important. Mary Hayes is our guest. She's the chair of the Shequamagon Democrats in Ashland and Bayfield counties. And the first time, Mary, we had you on, we were talking about Tom Tiffany, who all of a sudden, seemingly out of nowhere, came out with, let's turn the Apostle Islands into a national park. And I've talked to everybody, and everybody loves the idea, so let's just all jump on board with that. That's not the case. There's a really good article in the Wisconsin Examiner from August. It's from early August, but we'll put this in our show notes. There are mayors up there who are like, you never talk to me about this.
Yeah, and we refer to him up in the north as Toxic Tom Tiffany. You know, interestingly enough, he hasn't appeared in the north of his district in over 2 years. We haven't seen him anywhere. We usually, know when he's around for one of his quote unquote listening sessions. So it's ironic that he's touting something that would affect that northern peninsula of the state the most, and then have Senator Romaine Quinn, another Republican who hasn't been in our area for over a year, fly out to DC to support it. So yeah, there isn't a mayor in the area. There isn't a township in the area. There isn't a county supervisory council that supports it, not one. Ted Doherty, the mayor of Bayfield, Mary Motif, the mayor of Washburn, the entire Bayfield County Board of Supervisors put a resolution through the town of Washburn, city of Washburn, put resolutions through saying absolutely not. You know, there's been no economic impact study done, no infrastructure impact study done, no maintenance impact study done. And Mr. Tiffany is well known for not supporting any of those kinds of infrastructure maintenance for national parks or national lakeshores. They're behind on maintenance as it is.
Right.
No understanding of the impact to roads. If you've ever driven Bayfield, it's not a four-lane road. It's a little tiny town, then the road winds down to a marina. Parking is a major issue today, let alone if it would, you know, people would come up there more often and have, you know, a greater number. Then we talk about affordable housing. We have an affordable housing problem right now.
Yep.
You know, so many people came up during COVID and bought up small homes, and now they rent them out, you know, for Airbnb. And, you know, thanks to Tom Tiffany and others in the legislature when he was there, who put in rules that towns can't control that.
Really? I thought it was all about local control, Mary. I thought the Republicans are all about send it back locally. They can decide locally how this should be done. I'm just shocked.
I know. We're all so stunned, aren't we?
So, Mary, and, you know, go on.
Yeah, go ahead, Greg.
I was going to say, then who benefits from this whole thing, Mary, if it's not the people and the environment?
Good question.
Tell me who is the benefactor.
Well, let's step back and consider how Tom Tiffany is in the back pocket of mining companies.
Oh.
Who's been pushing toxic mining in the north? Tom Tiffany. Right? Who's on the federal lands committee? Tom Tiffany.
Oh.
So with a national park, it opens up Sand Island to development. So that could be condos. It could be a larger marina than what exists within the National Lakeshore now, or mining, or logging, or all kinds of other rape of a beautiful, pristine area. So mark my words, Tom's got something up his sleeve, and he's got some developers behind him that want to see this happen.
Yeah, it just, I don't know, call me crazy, but it almost feels like he is more interested in taking care of his lobbyists and his donors than the people who actually live in his district. I know that's a shocking thing to say.
So shocking.
I know.
I clutch my pearls.
There's a paragraph in this, article in the Wisconsin Examiner. Tiffany points to support his proposal has received from Republican allies in the legislature and officials from local governments further south of the lakeshore. He contends opponents of the bill are unnecessarily saying no to increased economic development.
Yeah, well, everybody loves to have some economic development up here, but we would like to have it in the form of good paying manufacturing jobs. We would like to see our forest resources used in a way that might create some more jobs besides just logging and sending it somewhere else. You know, more of that kind of thing would be really appropriate for that whole corridor along Highway 2. You know, we've got some really talented people, and we do have a couple of really notable industries up here that do some custom machine building and that type of thing, but we can use more of that.
We're going to continue our conversation with Mary Hayes, the chair of the Squamagon Democrats in Ashland and Bayfield counties. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
It was the most embarrassing moment of the Senate debate. Eric Hovde didn't know what was in the farm bill.
I'm not an expert on the farm bill.
Really? One out of nine Wisconsinites work in agriculture. But billionaire California banker Eric Hovde couldn't be bothered to learn about the farm bill. Hovde even said, quote, "Why in God's green earth would I know all the details in the farm bill?" The Wisconsin Farm Bureau has endorsed Tammy Baldwin. She's the first statewide Democrat they've endorsed in over 20 years. The Farm Bureau says Tammy Baldwin has been, quote, a steadfast advocate for Wisconsin agriculture. They cite her work creating the Dairy Business Innovation Act, which is helping farmers across Wisconsin expand and hire new workers. It's a clear choice. Billionaire California banker Eric Hovde, who doesn't give a damn about farmers, or Tammy Baldwin, who's working hard for us.
I'm Tammy Baldwin, running for Senate, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Tammy Baldwin for Senate.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Sweet Kelby on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park here in Racine. You can always join us. The number's the same, 855-752-4842 if you want to call or text or leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that used to be Twitter. We are joined by Mary Hayes. She's the chair of the Chequamegon Democrats covering Ashland and Bayfield counties. And we've been talking about Tom Tiffany, representative for that area, and his kind of surprise announcement that he wants to turn the Apostle Islands into a national park and some of the ramifications of that, Mary. And you were saying, too, and I've been to Bayfield. Bayfield's one of my favorite places in Wisconsin. It's wonderful. It's charming. The people are lovely. But it's tiny. It yes. is tiny. And as far as lodging and everything, so Tiffany's all about, it's going to bring more, you know, tourism and economic benefits and all of this stuff. But they're already facing a housing shortage, as you had mentioned, for people who work there, for the waiters and the waitresses and the stylists. And those people have to move further out because, as you said, right. during the pandemic, people came in and bought properties up. And then now they're renting mm-hmm. them as a rental property.
Yep.
Exactly. You know, they may use it for vacationing, you know, two, right. 3 weeks out of the year. And then the rest of the time they're making money off of it, which, you know, I don't have a huge problem with that. But that's been, I think, for our area, even, you know, Ashland as well, that has become an issue. Luckily, both county boards in both Ashland and Bayfield counties recognize that, and they're doing work with UW Extension and the housing folks there. To try to address that. But, you know, that doesn't happen just snapping your fingers,
right?
You know,
that all takes time.
It does. It takes time. You have to acquire the land. You've got to convince communities this is a good thing to do. And then, you know, frankly, the other part of it is elder care up here because, you know, we yeah. have an aging population and as does everyone. And, but particularly in an area where literally, think about this for a minute, there are only 16,000 people in Ashland County, 16,000 people in Bayfield County. And Bayfield County is one of the largest counties by landmass in the state of Wisconsin. So while we're small in population, people are spread out all over.
Right.
And then when an elder needs care, right?
Yep.
Where does that fall? It falls to the families, usually, you know, which is why it's so exciting to hear Kamala Harris talk about
in-home help. Yes.
In home health care, yes. And having Social Security be able to pay for that. You know, so anyway, I digress a bit there, but you know, we have a lot of needs that are reflective of everyone else, but it's harder because you drive 40 miles to get anything. You drive 40 miles to get to healthcare. You drive 40 miles to get to a doctor, you know,
It's just not sustainable. It's just not sustainable. Yeah. Tom Tiffany does actually have a challenger this year. Kyle Kilborn is racing against Tom Tiffany in the 7th Congressional District, and we're going to have him on the show on Friday.
Yes.
And have a chance to talk to him. I just worry it's always tough when you go up against an incumbent, and it sounds like Tom Tiffany has a lot of, and I'm sure, small individual donor money behind him. She says, dripping with sarcasm.
Right. He's got some on your lip right there.
Let me get the sarcasm off.
A little bit of drool there. The Ulines and Quick Trip owners and, you know, a number of the normal.
Diane Hendricks, the big spenders.
Diane Hendricks, they're all the big spenders and they're all supporting Tom. And it's really sad because the man doesn't represent us anymore. You know, he's part of the Freedom Caucus. He's a Just Say No. When I asked him why he voted against veterans 2 years ago when he did dare to come into the area here, he said, I support veterans. I said, no, you don't. You voted against the PAC Act, which was the act that allowed those in Desert Storm that were exposed to toxic burn pit fumes to be able to get care for all these cancers and various things that are happening to them now. And he voted against it. I said, so explain to me how you can be for veterans and do that. Well, there was a lot of Christmas gifts on that were going to increase the deficit. I said, really? But yet you voted for a $3 trillion tax break for the wealthy and corporations in 2017 under Trump, which has put $5 trillion on our budget deficit. So, and suddenly now you've got a problem with that. I said, I find that rather odd.
Then there was a smoke-sized version of Tom Tiffany in front of you as he bolted away.
Yeah, exactly.
I was going to say, this is why he's never coming back, Mary.
That's so frustrating.
I think the vast majority of Wisconsinites are finally seeing through this. And as you said when we first started, Mary, are tired of nothing getting done.
Right. I mean, ask yourself, what good piece of legislation that positively impacted a broad swath of Wisconsinites has he put through in the last 6 years? What has he done? I can't name one single thing.
Him and Fitzgerald, they're like, they just get to be in their seats and no one bothers them.
And they don't
them.
Have to do anything.
Yep.
Glenn Grothman is the same way.
Yeah.
They don't have to produce anything. They don't have to actually do anything on behalf of their constituents. They just keep voting them in over and over and over.
And Tiffany had the worst voting record of anyone in Congress. He never showed up to even vote half the time.
He's got vacations to do, Mary. He's got other priorities.
Kayak and Monaco.
Exactly. There's things to do, not in his district that he's going to go do.
I find it hilarious that recently Kyle Kilborn caught him off guard about the post office in Wausau.
Well, we'll follow up with Kyle because he's going to be here on Friday.
Thank you for the tip.
Maybe give Tom Tiffany a chance to be on vacation longer. Yeah. Just a thought when you go cast your ballot. Mary Hayes, love having you on the show. For the chair of the Shequamagon Democrats. Go vote. It's very important. News is coming up next when we return. No, you can't give yourself a nickname. That's not how it works.
Oh, darn it.
That's on the way. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network. To another world.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For 910 WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. A group of truckers who participated in the 5th annual Barron County Truck Show in September have donated the proceeds of the event to a Rice Lake family in need. The group reportedly gave a $65,000 check to the Helstad family to help pay for the medical expenses of their 8-year-old daughter, Blair, who has been hospitalized in Madison for months. Blair was diagnosed with febrile infection-related epilepsy syndrome and has struggled with difficult symptoms. The family thanked the truckers for their overwhelming generosity. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources has announced a new invasive species detected in the Chippewa and Black Rivers. According to a press release, DNR staff started to receive reports of a suspected invasive carp on the lower Chippewa River in Eau Claire and later discovered that the invasive silver carp had migrated to the area. Officials are now sampling tributaries to the lower Chippewa River to determine if the invasive carp has spread to any other areas. They believe the fish migrated during high water levels in early summer. A pedestrian was hospitalized following a police-involved accident on Monday afternoon. According to the Minnesota State Patrol, the accident involved the Duluth police officer and the pedestrian. The officer was driving on 2nd Street and went to turn onto 6th Avenue East when she hit a 47-year-old woman who was walking at around 1:10 p.m. The woman was taken to the hospital for treatment with minor injuries. Due to the involvement of a Duluth police officer in the accident, the Minnesota State Patrol is conducting the investigation. The Duluth Entertainment Convention Center hosted the Great Lakes Outdoor Summit on Friday. The summit brings in businesses, conservation advocates, and residents to connect and build a community that seeks to preserve the environment and benefit everyone in the area. Over 40 organizations attended the summit and held engagement sessions that covered topics like climate change, outdoor advocacy, and solutions for accessibility. Organizers say their hope is people will return for future sessions to keep those conversations going. For 910 WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. John Oliver's comedic takes on current events are top-notch. If you want a sample size and a good laugh, check out his and Will Ferrell's funny parody of Lee Greenwood's God Bless the USA. Oliver, an immigrant himself, had to take a test to become a citizen and then listen to Greenwood's song during his citizenship ceremony and thought new U.S. citizens deserved better. When he found out Greenwood charges the U.S. government $700 a year to use the song, it rubbed him the wrong way. So he is offering the new Will Ferrell version to the government for $701. Seems like a sensible price. Uma Thurman and Anthony Hopkins are teaming up with another up-and-coming actress, Phoebe Denever, for a forbidden love story called The Housekeeper. The film will be set in England at Hopkins' character's vast estate, with Thurman playing a housekeeper falling for a young woman and author who is visiting. It sounds quite steamy because Thurman and Denever are both very attractive, and even more so because there is no mention of Anthony Hopkins doing a love scene. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Summer is here today, with unseasonable highs reaching those mid-70s alongside a gusty southeast wind. This is all ahead of wet weather sitting on our back doorstep. In fact, showers and some storms move in overnight and throughout tomorrow. We could see some soaking rain amounts of over an inch. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 60 degrees at our studios.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Todd Alba joins us. Hey, Todd.
We're here in front of the Bonham Theater to talk entertainment. Todd forgot his battery pack. We are running off of Todd's truck engine.
I don't want to rub salt in the wound, but if your travel budget got cut, I'm just wondering if it coincided. All of a sudden, I got like a 10 grand a week per diem. I don't know if that is related.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Dom Salvia.
Next time, a GOP-connected super PAC backing Jill Stein in Wisconsin. Mr. Ethics Scott Ross joins me to talk about dehumanizing ads, plus overtime with Maggie Dawn. Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Ah,
Good morning. Welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and our resident young person, Calvin, on the board. You can always join the show at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Jabba the Musk hates that we continue to call Twitter. Just a reminder, Todd Alba, our friend and colleague, is out on the road this week with the What Makes Wisconsin Great Tour. And today they are stopping in Viroqua, Wisconsin, in the western part of the state. Trigby Olson of the Lincoln Project is there too. Reed Galen of the Union. If you're out in that area, go say hello to Todd and Trigby and Reed and check him out on the What Makes Wisconsin Great Tour as they hit the road for this week before the election. Of course, we will wrap up the show as we do every day now with This Shouldn't Be a Thing, Finish Watch Edition.
Maybe. It's fine.
It's fine-ish. That's coming up in about 15 minutes or so. All right. You don't give yourself a nickname. That's not how nicknames work.
No.
It's just a basic.
Yeah.
You get a nickname because your friends decide this is funny, this is a good reflection of you, we're going to call you this.
Yeah. Do you have one?
I do. My nickname all through high school was Rhoda.
That makes all the sense. Calvin, ask your meemaw or peepaw about television.
The Mary Tyler Moore Show was big at that time. Rhoda Morgenstern was a character on the Mary Tyler Moore Show.
Oh, yeah.
And Rhoda wore scarves that she tied around her head. And I started to wear scarves tied around my head. Hence, I got the nickname Rhoda. And some of those people still call me that. And I have no problem with it.
Yeah.
That is my assigned nickname. What about you?
My mom tried to make one stick when I was a kid. And for even a couple of years ago, she was like, people still call you that, right? I'm like, they never called me this. The nickname was Metro because when I was 12, I was, while biking, I was hit by a City of Waukesha Metro bus.
Oh, my God.
But the thing is like, it was fine. I lived. I'm here. Congrats. But the nickname never really happened.
It didn't take off.
It never. And she still tried to make it a thing. I'm like, no one calls me that.
I'm sorry, Mom.
And the closest thing I have to a nickname, and this is so sad that I say it out loud, is people will just be like, what's up, Greg Bach? They'll just say my first and last name
all
quickly.
The time.
Yeah. Greg Bach. What's going on, Greg Bach? I'm like, oh.
So that's your nickname.
I guess. Yeah. How boring is that, huh?
Calvin, do you have a nickname? Did your friends give you a nickname or friends or family?
Besides what we've given you.
Yes.
Well, I mean, it's really boring. I don't even know if it counts, but people in my family call me Cal. That's about it.
That's not a nickname.
Yeah, that's just a shortened version of my name.
That's just lazy.
So I've never had a good nickname, but my younger brother, when he was in elementary school, it came out of Little League Baseball, but from the time he was like 10 till the time he was like 14, some people called him O-Dog, and it just came from a Little League Baseball chance.
Is his name Otis?
His name's Owen.
Owen. I was hoping it was Otis.
Oh, but that's a nickname.
What's up, O-Dog?
That's a nickname. That qualifies.
It qualifies, and it also has the, like, it was given to him by other people. It's not his name.
Right.
So there we go.
It's a play on his name.
I was in a band once with a guy who referred to himself as Train. He gave himself that nickname.
Can't do that.
He went to, and the lead singer of the band told me, he's like, yeah, we were at a bar one night, and he literally said out loud, he said, I think I'm going to start calling myself Train. And that night, when he met some ladies, he goes, hi, my name is such and such. People call me Train. You can too.
Wow. Did it work?
No. Well, yes, it worked because he made it a part of his, he was a solo artist too. So
okay.
He could. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And just as a, I'm helpful here with the show notes. I just want to let you know. I looked up the psychology of someone who gives themselves a nickname.
Oh, good.
It can be related to desires of self-absorption, shallowness, or a need for approval.
Oh, no kidding.
Could it possibly fit with the subject matter of this entire discussion point?
Yeah, there is a reason why we brought this up.
Yeah.
Elon Musk.
That guy.
Elon Musk, who's going to be the director of cost-cutting, apparently, in a second Trump administration, first started calling himself Dark MAGA, but Calvin, you have a clip, a more recent clip, of Elon's new nickname for himself. Let's hear that.
I'm not just MAGA. I'm dark gothic MAGA.
Dark gothic MAGA?
And listen to the dozen of people care about that. I mean, dark gothic MAGA.
Elon, it doesn't work that way. I know you have no friends.
Oh,
I know you have no friends. And that's why we're going to help you.
Yeah.
And give you some nicknames.
Yeah.
Now, we have ours here on Matt and Air on Air. It's Jabba the Musk.
Or Elon the Hutt, if
or
you want.
Or Elon the Hutt. That works, too. But we are looking for other suggestions, friendly suggestions, FCC-compliant suggestions for a nickname for Elon so he doesn't feel so alone.
I don't think he also understands how a nickname works. A nickname is usually like O-Dog. Let's take O-Dog, for example. Now, granted, it's both Owen and O-Dog are both two syllables, but it's a fun play on the name.
Right.
You don't give yourself more syllables in your name for a nickname. Your name is Elon. You call you E-Dog or Lonnie or Jack Elon. I don't know. Call you some, but like Dark Gothic MAGA, that's a terrible Harry Potter name or a worse Dungeon Master name.
Andrew from Maine on the text line. I moved before my junior year of high school, and one of the football players decided I should be called Shorty. I was 6'5".
Yeah.
That's perfect.
Yes.
That is a nickname. That someone you know gives to you. You don't just assign a nickname to yourself, Elon. I'm sorry. That's not how it works.
No. Also, I think the problem I have is that we have Dark Brandon. The fact that Joe Biden already has taken Dark, he took Brandon, and that was given
to him. Yes.
He took the insulting Brandon moniker and we worked it around and gave him Dark Brandon. It looks even cooler. So then he's like, I'm Dark MAGA.
Gothic MAGA.
Darth, why don't you just call yourself Darth? You just want to call yourself Darth MAGA. Like you are the world's worst Sith Lord.
Lynn from Oconomowoc on the text line. Skinny Linny. That was my nickname growing up. At least it wasn't my cousin's Hartfurt.
John Hartman from Hubertus said we just call him Cretan.
Cretan. Oh, for Elmo?
Yeah.
Since a musk turtles are called Stinkpot from Mark from Prairie du Sac, I suggest Stinky or Stinkpot. Ooh.
I like.
Mark.
I like.
Stinky?
Stinkpot the Musk. We can just call them all the Stinky, Stinkpot. Oh,
855,
that's the gift that keeps on giving.
855-752-4842. FCC compliant.
Yes.
A nice, friendly, affectionate nickname for Elon Musk. We're just trying to help him out. Guy doesn't have any friends.
Don't call yourself Dark Stinky. Just call yourself Stinky.
Just that works.
Stinkpot.
That
Calvin?
Works.
Well, I'm going to try to match his nickname a little. So he went with Gothic, which I don't know why he would choose that aesthetic. So yeah. I think Cyber Musk is a better nickname.
Cyber Musk. But just like it's not the Robovan, it's the Robovan. Let's call him Cyber Musk. Okay, nothing? All right, fine. I'm fine. I'm alone in my
principles. Sometimes you just got to throw it out there, Greg, to see what happens. You got to.
Nicole from Madison might have the best one. Oh, Putz de Leon.
Oh,
Putz-de-Leon.
Oh, Nicole, that's good.
Oh, Muskrat. I mean, folks, you are delivering today.
Chris, Muskrat. We got Andrew. Elon could be the autocorrect. Elong and elongate for how long he just keeps stretching things out. I'm liking Putz to Elon.
Putz-de-Leon. Oh my God!
Nicole, that is so good.
And then and then to make the kids laugh, Stinkpot, because kids would laugh when you'd be like, you know.
Robbo Musk is another one. Anne from Chippewa Falls. Trump called him Leon Musk, so we can call him Noel, which is Leon backwards.
There it is. He's a Christmas boy.
That works.
Oh my gosh, this is wonderful. This is giving me just so much fun feels today. I just completely enjoy this.
Stinky Musk is also very popular, to be.
Maybe we should
855-752-4842 or taking your suggestions.
Anyone I'm trying to think of any Yeah, I mean, these are all wonderful. They're better than what I'm thinking about, honestly. Plus, they're also FCC compliant.
Well, there's that.
Yeah.
We need to keep them FCC friendly.
Yeah.
Here on the show, we call him Jabba the Musk or Elon the Hutt.
Why do we call him that, Jane?
Because our friend in Shorewood, Scott, there and his friend made a plastic compilation between Elon and Jabba the Hutt.
Yeah, right there.
You can see it if you're watching on the live stream.
We need to get some powder on him. He's got a shiny face.
A little bit. He's a little shiny. Yeah. Still taking your suggestions for Elon's nickname because he's calling himself Dark Gothic MAGA.
Stinklon. We got Stinklon from Jim and Appleton.
Stinklon.
Stinklon also sounds that very works. Robotic, like very futuristic, like I am Stinklon.
Stinklon. Yep. Yeah. Yep. That's got potential.
Yeah.
I don't know how we'll get these to him.
Oh, I'm on Twitter. I'll do it. I'll do all of them. I'll just put a long list.
And just tell him we're doing this because we want him to know he's not alone.
Stinky, we're doing this for you. We're not laughing at you.
No.
We're laughing around you.
Sure.
Yeah.
Just so you know, again, because you don't get to assign yourself a nickname that isn't how nicknames work. What was your nickname?
Yeah.
We got a couple minutes left. 855-752-4842. I was Rhoda in high school. Some friends from high school still call me Rhoda.
I just think you can't keep having kids because, like, you know, like, just because you're having a lot of kids, Elon, doesn't mean they're going to be your friends.
There's that.
Yeah, that doesn't make them friends. They just...
Elmer, because he is the color of glue. Rick from Mequon.
Oh, my God. All I can just think about him is, I think I told you this, too. When he jumps in the air and he does that, like, really dumb jump and he, like...
Tries to be an X.
He tries to be the letter X.
Oh, Elon.
I know. Seriously. When you start to talk about this stuff, and, like, I've said this before on the show, there is a part of me that has a deep sense of empathy for Donald Trump because of the family he came from. Like, granted, he is rich, but he came from awful parents who never loved him. And he was never shown love. I can't imagine on the things I know about Elon's parents, it was much different. So it's like that idea just where you just turn the knob a little bit of love. Who would he be now? He's constantly looking for approval. He's constantly looking for respect. He needs his dad to say he loves him. And just like with Donald Trump's father, it's never going to happen.
It's never going to happen. Eric from Tosa, since Donald Trump misidentify him, he is forever Leon to me. An insult too for like that.
We can be fancy, call him Leon.
Eric from Lodi, apartheid Musk. And Mike from Green Bay, listening on WGBW, pee on Tiny Tusk.
Ooh, that one's fun. I still do like Putz de Leon though.
I think that's pretty good, Nicole.
Yeah, that one is.
We applaud you for that. Well done.
Yeah, yeah.
Putz de Elon. I'm sorry, Elon, but that's just the rules of nicknames.
Yeah.
It's one of those unwritten rules we all have to follow.
If you're going to give yourself one, it's incumbent upon us to make sure the one that we give you is not nice. Because you can get a nice one. Rhoda is a nice nickname.
It is. So affectionate.
But when you give yourself one, we're like, oh, no, we got to step in.
Yeah, now it's, yeah, no.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much, everyone, for your suggestions. We'll make sure that... Jabba the Musk gets a look at him.
Yeah.
We're just trying to help.
Yeah.
We're just trying to help. Coming up, this shouldn't be a thing. Nice-ish watches edition. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on air, coming to you across the vast, statewide, countrywide, global on the app, Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
This is an important announcement for Wisconsinites who plan to vote in the November 2024 election. Leading nonpartisan economists have analyzed the economic plans of Donald Trump and concluded that he would cause inflation to rise and the economy to slow. And 16 Nobel Prize-winning economists wrote a letter warning that Donald Trump would reignite inflation with his fiscally irresponsible budgets. Donald Trump's tariff plan would act as a national sales tax, costing the average family as much as $4,000 per year. But Vice President Kamala Harris's plan would help middle-class families deal with rising costs. In her first 100 days, Kamala Harris would pass a ban on price gouging at the grocery store. And as vice president, she worked to cap the cost of many prescription drugs, including insulin, saving many families thousands of dollars per year. On the economy, the choice is clear. Vote Kamala Harris for president. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together Action, www.abwt-action.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
You're an organ donor, right? Here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Lena Bloom for The Bail Project.
Imagine you're stuck in a jail cell and you can't afford bail and someone offers you a way out. Just plead guilty and you can go home and kiss your kids goodnight. What do you do? What thousands have. You plead guilty whether you are or not. Cash bail makes poverty a crime. That's why The Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Buck, and Calviente on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call. You can text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that you used to be Twitter. Just a reminder, in-person absentee voting, also known as early voting, is underway across Wisconsin. I voted on Friday. Greg, you voted yesterday.
I did.
If you're not quite sure what you're going to be doing next Tuesday, maybe you're not sure. Yeah, I'm going to go Tuesday. It should be fine. And then you get a flat tire or work calls and you can't get in or the kids get sick. Maybe you want to vote early and take advantage of it. It's super slick. It really is. If you've never voted early before, it took me about a half an hour. You only took 10 minutes.
Yeah. And I would say, folks, at this point, we're in going midweek of this, don't go noon if you can.
Well, which is lunchtime. Yeah, so you want to avoid early mornings, lunchtime, and then probably after work.
Yeah. I would say I went around 1:30, 2 o'clock. That was great. I would say around 10:30, 11 before the lunch rush comes in. But yeah, wear comfy shoes.
Yeah.
Bring a podcast if you need to. Bring a friend.
Bring a friend. Absolutely. Make it a thing.
Yeah. But it's imperative that we vote. We vote. And voting early is, if it's available upon us, we should do it.
And the other thing, too, that I think is pretty great, that when you vote early, you can just go to myvote.wi.gov and hit the ballot tracker.
Mm-hmm.
And that will tell you the entire process and reassure you that, yes, they got your ballot and it is going to be recorded.
Darn right. I love that feature. It's like it's on a little trip.
It is. It's great. All right. It's 11:53. That means, Calvin, it is time for
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
If you ever have a thing that should not be, send it in to Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. JaneSays. JaneSays@civicmedia.us. Today's This Shouldn't Be a Thing is the Nice-ish watch edition. Remember a couple of weeks ago, Greg Bach, when we were talking about the grift of the week?
A pretty expensive grift, too, yeah.
Donald Trump, of course, came out a couple of weeks ago that he was selling these very, very expensive, exclusive watches.
Mm-hmm.
CNN has a story from just about a week ago. Wearing his blue suit and red tie, Donald Trump appears presidential, sitting behind a desk. A glimmer of gold sparkle swirls around his wrist. Not just any watch. These limited edition timepieces are designed for the president and bear the Trump name. The website boasts of the brand's Swiss-made power and precision with price tags up to $100,000. So this CNN reporter decided to track down who's making them and where are these exclusive watches coming from. The CNN investigation into the manufacture and distribution of the Trump-branded timepieces ended at an innocuous-looking shopping center in a small city in remote northern Wyoming. They share a parking lot, including an H&R Block, a Wendy's, a hemp shop. The nondescript office that serves as the mailing address for the Best Watches on Earth LLC.
God.
That building houses a daycare. The Best Watches on Earth LLC, the company behind this new line of watches. Their address, there's a daycare in there, but no sign of the watches. Donald Trump says puts you in a very exclusive club.
You mean that I can't pay my mortgage club anymore?
CNN also found dozens of other companies claiming that same address as their own.
Oh, my God.
Including a separate LLC that sells the Trump sneakers through a licensing deal with Donald Trump.
Yeah.
There's a D.C. lobbying firm representing the government of Montenegro also using that same address for the Best Watches on Earth LLC.
Are we on like a 90s political comedy right now? Because this is ridiculous.
There's also another company related to this. It's called Kingdom Honey LLC, the best honey on earth. It sells male enhancement honey products.
Don't look at me like that. Don't say those words and look at me like that.
You're sitting across from me. I don't have a lot of choice. The FDA has warned people not to take this after they found that an erectile dysfunction drug used in Viagra is in this honey. And that can react adversely if you're on other medications. That's very serious, actually.
How dare you tell me as a man what to do with my body?
You're right. I'm way outside my place. Anyway, perhaps you were considering buying one of the best, most prestigious watches on earth, you may want to rethink that.
Yeah.
We're just throwing it out there. But I firmly believe this, no.
No, this should not be a thing.
No, it really, no.
No.
No. That is Calvin, today's episode of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
The Todd Alba Show is coming up right after the noon news. Todd is out on the road for the What Makes Wisconsin Great Tour. And they're going to be in Viroqua today in western Wisconsin, along with Trigby Olson of the Lincoln Project and Reed Galen of the Union. Then it's Maggie Dawn and Dom Salvia. Thank you, Greg and Calvin, all of our engineers. Without you, nothing works. Thank you most of all for calling and texting, for listening. I hope you find some joy today and you get the chance to share it. News is next. Keep it here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We will see you tomorrow.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Maggie Dawn.
Next, I've got Insha Raman. We're going to talk about crime, public safety, policing, and immigration, and what voters in Wisconsin really want.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
It's time to seize the moment. Trust the team at Round Lake Marina to get you on the water with dock and lift installation services and premium boat rental and sales. They carry the brands you love. Sea Arc, Godfrey, Nautique, Candock, Shore Station, and Pier Pleasure. They're raising the bar for your summer experience, ensuring endless fun and relaxation on the water. Live free, have fun. Visit us at 12480 County Road B in Hayward, Wisconsin, or online at roundlakemarina.com.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is the Buzz of the North.
WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.